where a man was sacrificed in hope that this particular god would give the tribe some assistance in an upcoming war. Captain Cook, though friendly to the local peoples, could not conceal his horror for what he considered both a barbaric and superstitious act. Like Cook, we find the idea of killing someone to appease God to be abhorrent. Yet the great irony is that we have never stopped killing people in God's name. We have only changed the nomenclature. They called it human sacrifice. We call it capital punishment. In either case, someone dies because we feel that God needs and wants this death for some divine reason. In today's gospel, we see the story of the woman who has been caught in adultery. And as John tells the story, a crowd of pious persons brings her to Jesus and tell him that they have caught her in the very act of committing adultery, and that Moses, who is the primary interpreter of God's will, has ordered that for this particular offense, and she needs to be put to death. Jesus, for his part, says nothing. But instead, he bends down and begins to write in the sand with his finger. Then, looking up, he tells them, "Let the person among you without sin cast the first stone." And then again, he bends down and starts to write on the ground. Unbelievably, they get the message and lay down their stones and go away. Most of us have been taught, rightly, that they do an examination of conscience and realize they are not without sin. But there's something deeper in their faith and in their interpretation of the law that needs explanation. The key for the interpretation is writing on the ground with a finger and writing two times. Who has done that in their history? God himself. When he wrote with his finger on a stone tablet the Ten Commandments. And he had to write them twice because Moses broke them the first time. Coming down the mountain carrying the tablets of the commandments, Moses caught the people in the very act of committing idolatry. And Moses, gripped in a fever of religious and moral fervor, broke the stone tablets. Moses was the first person to break the commandments, physically, thinking violence needed to be done for God's cause. Then, having broken them, he needed to go up the mountain a second time and have them rewritten by God. But before writing them a second time, God gave Moses a stern message. Don't stone people with the commandments. Don't do violence in my name. The people who wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery understood Jesus' gesture. Their divine interpreter, Moses, had it wrong. Too often, though, we are still, in a variety of forms, stoning people with the commandments, falsely believing that God wants this violence. We have forever justified killing and other forms of violence in God's name, often pointing to texts in Scripture which seemingly show God as ordering violence in his name. For example, during the medieval ages, as a Christian church, we had the Inquisition, believing that God wanted us to kill people who were in doctrinal error. But in this, we have been wrong. And just recently, Pope Francis recognized the errors of the church and apologized to the indigenous peoples of Canada for the abuses done by the Catholic Church. So it continues. Despite a number of texts which on the surface seem to indicate that God is ordering violence, we see, if we read the Bible from beginning to end, a progressive revelation, or at least a progressive realization on our part, of the nonviolence of God, a revelation that ends in Jesus, who reveals a God of radical nonviolence. Our faulty idea of the God of the Old Testament, who seemingly orders the extermination of whole peoples, is indeed primitive and superstitious when placed beside the concept of the Father of Jesus, who sends his Son into the world as a helpless infant and then lets him die helpless before a mocking crowd. As we enter into Passion Tide, let us realize that the God whom Jesus reveals is devoid of all violence, and ask that we no longer do violence in God's name.